I speak to you in the name of one God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. The societal norm that I would say most of us in this room grew up with was that our youthful years were worry-free, and if not worry-free, certainly less intense than our parents' lives. Happiness was easily attainable as we rode our bikes and ran through sprinklers until the streetlights went on and we all returned home. We believed that we were leading better lives than our parents. Worry, melancholy, stress, hopelessness would be served up to us later as a side dish as we approached adulthood. However, there has been a shift in our culture, a true and real shift. According to the World Economic Forum, youth are for the first time less happy than their elders. While I find this news deeply saddening, I am not shocked due to the many conversations I have had with parishioners and family and friends and community members throughout the past few years. According to the World Economic Forum, the decrease in happiness is due to economic challenges on the horizon that even youth realize. The rise of divisive politics, not just in our country, but around the globe. There is also climate change and peer pressure through technology. All of this adds up to a low-level hum of hopelessness that is pervasive. Pervasive homelessness is exactly where we find Ezekiel today. He is writing from a place of complete desolation. And I think it's hard for us sitting here in Hermosa Beach in 2024 to imagine being the majority part of the Jewish population that was displaced and uprooted and moved to being enslaved in Babylon, which was a common tactic for conquering armies. And the Israelites live here in Babylon enslaved. They have no freedom to return to their homeland of Israel and Judah. They cannot go back to their sacred city of Jerusalem. They have no ability to worship at their temple. They are hopeless. They are stuck in complete and utter despair. And they cannot see an end to life as they know it, as they are held in captivity. Yet Ezekiel is a prophet who has great visions, and his visions and words throughout the book are an effort to restore hope to the hopeless. Ezekiel reminds those in captivity again and again that God has not deserted them. God is still there in relationship. They have not been abandoned. Throughout this book, we hear Ezekiel relaying this message of connectedness, of God's connectedness through many different visions and metaphors. And today our reading of Ezekiel speaks of God taking a sprig from the top of a cedar and replanting this sprig, and not just replanting it anywhere, but replanting it in the middle of Israel herself, the land that they so long for. The imagery is poignant. God plucking this sprig. It is already the cedar, a known metaphor for God's promise of restoration. God takes the sprig and plants it not just in the middle of Israel, but on the highest mountain. And as it grows, it will be for all to see. And as the cedar grows, its branches will branch out and they will begin to bear fruit, and they will provide a home for the birds. All birds, God says, shall find refuge in the shade of this cedar. And it is because of this great tree that all shall be reminded of God and their relationship with God. This imagery says so much about who God is. God takes something insignificant and small and vulnerable, this tender shoot that cannot survive on its own, and God transforms it into something that is life-giving, life-sustaining, and not just for the Israelites, but for all people. God's love and grace and shelter are available to everyone. In the midst of despair, Ezekiel seeks to remind the Israelites of their relationship with God. And just because they have moved, that relationship has not been broken, because their relationship with God has no end. Even when times are dark, even when hope seems unattainable, Ezekiel uses the cedar tree, the familiar symbol, a symbol that reminds them that no matter where they are, no matter the circumstances, they remain children of God. And therefore, in the words of Isaiah, they are blessed and they are to be a blessing. Their homes, their land, their livelihoods, their temple can all be taken away from them, but not the gift that God extends to be in constant relationship. Ezekiel's vision that we heard today reminds them that God cannot be taken away from them, never, and therefore they are never without hope. The Gospel of Mark picks up on the same thing, with Jesus telling two parables of seeds, insignificant, small, vulnerable, that can do nothing on their own. They are scattered on the ground, and yet they grow not by any effort of human hands. They just grow. And grow so large that these seeds, like the shoot of the cedar tree, also provides a home for the birds in the air. You see, Jesus knew his Ezekiel, and he plays with this story, actually turning it into hyperbole, but making the point that even more, God's presence, God's relationship with us is always there. It is the gift that cannot be taken away. But we can choose to receive this gift, or we can choose to ignore it. We can choose to live into the hope that God gives us, or we can refuse to have hope. Hope may seem elusive not only to our younger generation, but also in some areas of our own lives. Many will feel hopeless no matter which side of the aisle wins the election in November. Many of us in California feel hopeless as we cannot stop the fires or tornadoes or atmospheric rivers, as homelessness continues to rise, as we argue about where we can build housing, as the opioid epidemic does not have an end in sight but continues to worsen. We may feel helpless and hopeless as we do not know how we can help those around us. The World Economic Forum has 4 points to foster greater happiness. The first is mental health support. And if you ask around, that is in short supply right now. But we need to pay attention and do better to support children's and adults' mental health. The second point they say is social media reform. I won't even go down that avenue, but we need some help here so that we quit comparing ourselves to unattainable goals. The third is to make connections across cultures, and that means within our country as well as globally. And the last, which should just seem a given but sometimes isn't, to make education our top priority. Each of these and together actively work to improve one's mental state and the attainability of happiness. And I would add a fifth point. Reconnect with your faith. Find God. Find the shoot of the cedar. Find the seed of hope that seems like nothing and insignificant and vulnerable, and nurture it. Nurture your relationship with God through prayer and word and action. Nurture that relationship and then share it with others. Be the sower of seeds of hope in how you live your lives, by how you speak to one another and how you speak about one another and how you care for one another. Each and every one of us here today is a shoot, and we may feel small and insignificant and vulnerable, and yet with God, we have hope. With God, we can be nurtured, and we can grow into the person who God has made us to be, one who offers hope to others. Amen.